We are involved in the battle for your mind. German reformer Professor Martin Luther warned, "I'm much afraid that schools will prove to be wide gates to hell unless they diligently labor in explaining the Holy Scriptures, engraving them in the hearts of youth. I advise no one to place his child where the Scriptures do not reign paramount. Every institution in which men are not constantly occupied with the Word of God must become corrupt. Do not be surprised that our universities have ended up like this because they neglected the Scriptures and then they sidelined the Scriptures, and after a while they outlawed the Scriptures. We as Bible-believing evangelical Christians must respond as Dr. Martin Luther responded at Worms before the assembled political and ecclesiastical might of Europe on 18 April 1521. Unless I'm convinced by Scripture or by clear reasoning that I'm in error, for popes and councils have often erred and contradicted themselves, I cannot recant, for I'm subject to the Scriptures I've quoted. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. It is unsafe and dangerous to do anything against one's conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. So help me, God. Amen." Of course, making such a bold and biblical stand will come at a price. That's what it means, taking up your cross, willing to pay the price. Professor John Wycliffe, the morning star of the Reformation, was kicked out of Oxford University because of his bold Bible teaching and his translation of the Holy Scriptures into English. Professor Jan Hus of Prague University was excommunicated by the Pope and burned at the stake at Constance, 1415. However, as Jan Hus was pressed to recant, to save his life, he declared, "I would not, for a chapel full of gold, recede from the truth. The truth stands and is mighty forever." Hus declared he had preferred to be burned in public than to be silenced in private, in order that all Christendom may know what I've said in the end. Hus declared that he would gladly seal with his blood the truths that he had taught in his life. "In the truth of the gospel I have written, taught, and preached, today I will gladly die." And as he was dying, Jan Hus made a prophecy. In fact, he made a joke. "My goose is cooked," he said. Hus is the Bohemian word for goose. So he's making a play on words. "My goose is cooked. You may put this goose in the fire. You may cook my goose. But 100 years from now, a swan will arise whose voice you will not be able to silence." Many recognized Professor Martin Luther as that swan, as that voice, hence the prevalence of swans in Lutheran art and architecture. The oldest church building still in use in the Southern Hemisphere is Strand Street Lutheran Church. My wife sang in the Cape Town Symphony Choir Handel's Messiah just a couple of weeks ago there. And there's a swan over the front door, there's a swan over the pulpit. It's part of the architecture of Lutheran churches. Interestingly, a century after Jan Hus was martyred, Martin Luther was being ordained into the Catholic priesthood, and he was required to lie face down before the altar in Erfurt Cathedral. Martin Luther was actually lying face down over the tomb of the bishop who burned Hus at the stake at Constance in 1415. So you could imagine that the bishop, hearing Professor Jan Hus predict that 100 years from now, a swan would arise whose voice the Pope would not be able to silence. Perhaps he may have muttered something along the lines of, "Over my dead body." Indeed, Martin Luther entered the priesthood over the dead body of that very bishop who burned Jan Hus to death, pressing him to recant unsuccessfully. We must fear God alone. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us not to fear any man. The fear of man can prove to be a snare and a trap. We should fear God alone, who can destroy both body and soul in hell forever. And the fear of God's actually liberating. It's better to fear the one true God than to be enslaved to the fear of the multitude of men. And men are tyrants, actually. Deception, all deception brings bondage. The truth sets us free. It is the truth that sets us free. Deceptions bring bondage. The truth brings freedom, liberty. We need to notice that those people who claim to be concerned with hate speech, well, 2 Peter 2 verse 19 could be written over all of them. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. There's another translation that says slaves of depravity. As Christians, we, of course, are against hate. But the hate speech bill is not designed to silence genuine hate speech. The worst kind of speech is blasphemy against Almighty God, our Creator and Eternal Judge. The only truly holy person to ever walk this earth, Jesus Christ, is the most blasphemed character on earth, thanks to Hollywood. Look at this creep. Wearing a put Christianity in the dustbin, in a trash can, he carries a sign, if Jesus returns, kill him again. In fact, I've heard atheists saying things like, if Jesus comes again, kill him and cremate him, so that he can't rise again. You know, these people, there's no limit to their lack of fear of God. I fear for them. On the day of judgment, the Bible says when the Lord returns, the wicked will cry for the mountains to cover them. They'll prefer to be buried under an avalanche than to face the wrath of the Lamb of God on the day of judgment. You see these sort of signs. I've seen these signs. If Mary had only had an abortion, we wouldn't be in this mess. Just think of the mentality. To suggest that Jesus Christ is the root of all evil, and if the world had been without Christian influence, what a wonderful place it would be. Well, that's refuted by, what if Jesus had never been born, by Dr. James Kennedy, and how Christianity transformed the world, by Professor Alvin Schmidt. But libel and slander are real hate speech. And yet so much of our so-called entertainment industry vilifies the victims and victimizes the villains, inverting reality, slandering God's people, and demonizing those whom blaspheming, God-hating perverts hate. Whoever hates this brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life in him. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. Rebuking is not hatred. It's better to be kissed with the truth. It's better to be slapped with the truth than kissed with a lie. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers over all sins. He who says he's in the light, but he hates his brother, is in darkness until now. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught, the world hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. If you belong to Christ, don't expect that you'll get better treatment than your master. Our Lord Jesus declared, if the world hated you, you know it hated me before it hated you. The Lord gave a parable of how the people of the world would say of God's Son, we will not have this man to ruin over us. The word of God commands us, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. That's what we want to be. We want to be ready to explain what we believe, why we believe it, and how to defend it in argument. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Make a stand for the right to life of preborn babies. Back to the Bible for reformation and revival. 500 years ago, in 1519, Swiss reformer Ulrich Zwingli dispensed with the Latin Mass and began expository preaching in the language of the local people. Teaching from Matthew 1, verse 1, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, through the whole of the New Testament, Zwingli initiated expository preaching. We need to get back to the Bible for reformation and revival. And that's been a six-year project for me, summarizing the key message of every book of the Bible and putting it in audio and now book form. In the face of intimidation and threats in the world, we need to respond with the courage and the conviction of the Protestant reformers, Martin Luther and Ulrich Zwingli. Our conscience must be captive to the Word of God. We must stand on the unchangeable Word of Almighty God. We must not be conformed to this world. We need to be willing to be different. We need to stand up for Jesus, step out in faith, speak up and proclaim the Word of God faithfully and accurately. Does anyone recognize this place? Why have I put this particular picture on the screen here? Anyone identify this location? Wartburg Castle. What is famous about Wartburg Castle in Saxony? It's where Martin Luther translated the New Testament into German. The first Bible available in the local people, translated from the original Greek. And so this just reminds us back to the Bible for reformation and revival. Scripture alone is the ultimate authority. We've got outside some of these Coalition Revival, Reformation 500 manuals, which have a whole lot of great documents put together by theologians and apologists like R.C. Sproul and James Kennedy, Professor Henry Krabbendom, people such as Colonel John Eidsmo and others, Jay Grimstead. And so these are some distilled. This is not milk. This is not bread. This is not meat. This is biltong. In fact, in many cases, more like skeletons of great Bible studies that you can draw out from here. This is a monument of Martin Luther, the reformer, over the Frauenkirche in Dresden after the firebombing. Valentine's Day, 14th February, 1945. The British came in two waves, first at 10 o'clock and then after midnight, 1,000 bomber raids and incinerated Dresden. The flames went up 10,000 feet in the firestorm. And when the people were cleaning up and helping the people in the wreckage, they came over with another 10,000. And when they were cleaning up in the morning, the Americans came over with another 1,000 bomber raid, hit the same town. Why? Joseph Stalin requested it. Saxony, the capital of Saxony. Before they rebuilt the church, they rebuilt the monument of Martin Luther. This is symbolic of what we need to do. We need to rebuild every area of life on the Word of God. Just as Dresden was in ruins, so much of our society is in ruins, and our morals are in ruins, and our families are in ruins. We need to rebuild civilization on the Word of Almighty God. Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? One practical thing we can do, coming up on Thursday, the 30th of January, 2020, which is just a couple of weeks ago away, we are going to march to Parliament, our annual March for Life. It's close to the anniversary of the legalization of abortion in South Africa, which was the 1st of February, 1997. The closest Sunday to that, 2nd of February, we are seeking to observe and promote a Sanctity Life Sunday to encourage pastors to at least once a year preach on when life begins, what the Bible teaches about preborn babies, and our responsibility to rescue those being led away to death, to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. The first Sunday of every October, there is an International Life Train Sunday. And in over 1,900 venues around the world, over a million Christians participate in the average Life Train Sunday. But we've been running these since 1992. And so, if you are in Cape Town, do come and join us at the entrance to the waterfront, standing for the right to life of preborn babies. We need to reclaim our community for Christ. And over the last 38 years of Frontline Fellowship, and the last 29 years coming up soon, of Africa Christian Action, we've been producing a lot of good resources that help us to reclaim our area with pro-life, pro-family, moral, and biblical issues. Our prayer is that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. Stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has set us free. Truth does not fear investigation. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from this law of sin and death. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. propaganda, the calculated manipulation of public opinion to serve political and ideological interests, is pervasive. What lies behind us and what lies before us are small matters compared to what lies right to our faces. What is lying straight to our faces? Well, do you know, in the Soviet Union, they had two newspapers. One was called Pravda, the other was called Izvestia. Pravda means truth, Izvestia means news. This is Pravda in the Cyrillic script. The Russians used to say to me, there's nothing true in Pravda, there's nothing new in Izvestia. There's nothing true in truth, there's nothing new in news. Now, Pravda was their propaganda agency. This was the cover girl of communism, Angelina Cheskova. And the subtitle for this picture on the cover of Pravda was, "Thank you, Comrade Stalin, for my happy childhood." Well, Angelina should have had a happy childhood. After all, her mother was a senior leader in the Communist Women's Movement, and her father was a Politburo member in the Communist Party. So she had a privileged upbringing in the Communist Party. But within 6 months of this picture being taken, her father was shot dead on orders of Stalin. Within 2 years, her mother was dead in a labor camp, and she was orphaned. And she died shortly after that. That's the cover girl of communism. That's the poster girl of communism. Thank you, Comrade Stalin, for my happy childhood. The media is not a reflection of reality. Edward Bernays pioneered public relations, PR, and became known as the father of spin. In fact, he spoke about, he was in charge of the Committee for Public Information, the first propaganda agency in the world, in America during the First World War. And he went to Lucky Strike and said, "I can double your sales." And they said, "How can you double our sales?" He said, "By getting women to smoke." He said, "That's impossible. Women aren't going to smoke cigarettes. At least not decent women." And he said, "You give me the budget, I'll do it." And he, through media manipulation, through pictures, hiring models to in parades and so on, have women light these torches of freedom. He convinced people to smoke. He created a whole new idea. Light it. Light a Lucky and you'll never miss the sweets that make you fat. How's that for subtle? An ancient prejudice has been removed. American intelligence. And here, you know, this is it. End ancient prejudices, get women to smoke. 20,679 physicians say Luckies are less irritating, it's toasted. Your throat protection against irritation, against coughs. You need this throat protection too. If you're on the radio, if you're a singer, you need to smoke cigarettes to strengthen your lungs, to protect your lungs. These are the sort of things Edward Bernays, the father of spin, used to advertise. How do you have a relationship that lasts forever? You can both smoke together. And so the book on propaganda written by Edward Bernays, the target is a woman, to get women to smoke. They put it into movies. They put it into Hollywood films. When you thought you were watching Intent, you were being brainwashed. And this character, not only, well, you can see all the different things that he did. These were his different projects, include the NAACP conference, all the way through Ivory Soap, you name it. And just to show his complete and utter lack of principle, in the 1960s, he took a contract to produce documentaries on the dangers of smoking. Yeah. Another communist who got converted was this character. Anyone recognize his name? You know him yet? George Orwell, the author of 1984 and Animal Farm. He was a communist until he went to Russia and the Soviet Union. He saw communism at work and he became an anti-communist. He wrote Animal Farm. All animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. And this is a biting satire on communism, where the pigs are the political party chiefs, seen with the Order of Lenin and all that. And, you know, four legs good, two legs bad, and so on. Well, this is a great book to understand. A far tighter one is 1984. This is Big Brother's watching. War is peace, slavery is freedom, ignorance is strength. The Ministry of Peace organized the wars. The Ministry of Love organized the torture. The Ministry of Plenty organized the starvation. The Ministry of Truth, the lies and propaganda. And of course, there were thought police. Looks like you've had a little bit too much to think. I think most of what we do at the BWS is a thought crime in the minds of the New World Order. Well, these are just some of the tools we can use to fight the propaganda and the battle for the mind. The hate speech bill, threat to free speech, is one of our Christian Action newsletters at the back. It's got all the text of what I shared this morning and this evening. And on our frontline mission, sa.org website, you can read a whole lot more. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Let's pray. Lord God, we want to thank and praise you for your word, the Bible. It is light, it is life, it is truth, it is a sword, it is the sword of the Spirit. We pray, Lord God, that you'd make us brave and bold for you and effective in speaking up and standing up for truth, exposing error and advancing your kingdom. We pray it in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.